So I'm so glad that you are here with me, Natalie Gentry.
Oh, thank
Denver,
you.
Denver, Colorado. Okay.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to welcome my sister queens.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because we have to take our place back on the throne, okay, and start acknowledging one another for who and what we truly are and our birthright.
Agreed.
So many agreed. Times we have been dulled down and quieted. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm on the edge. With you and a whole bunch of other brains right here on the edge out of San Diego, California. Right there. Again, my sister queen, Natalie Gentry. Today we're going to talk about movement and energy and coaching. But what is it like in this environment? What is it like to go deep within oneself, to understand who we are, to meditate us through that process? Everybody's got a different bell that they ring when they meditate, you know? I go from a guided meditation to a chanting meditation to a silent meditation. So I want to hear some of the techniques that you have that you incorporate there in your studio with your clients and just really what the climate is and how we going to get through this. Because, girl, it seems like every day it's getting rougher and rougher. Would you agree?
Oh, my gosh. I think it is. I think it is. I think that these are some really difficult times right now. And this is a These are times where what I think we've been led to believe is that our life exists out here. Mm-hmm. Somebody else mm-hmm. tells us how to act and what to do, how to think, how to feel, how to look, and all of that right. stuff. And we have gotten used to living a more external life, which has been made worse because we're very busy. Mm. But what necessarily needs to happen is that we need to bring it in. We need to bring it in so that we can actually get a stronger and better sense of who we are as people. So that we can live life from a more internal space. And the only way to do that is if we get still, if we really create practices that allow us to really live and work and exist from the inside out. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense because so many people confuse a practice with a ritual.
Yeah.
Which they can be synonymous, mm-hmm. you know, because my morning ritual is to get up the first thing when I hit the floor is to say thank you. Mm. Okay. That's the first thing I do is say thank you on my way to the throne. Yeah. But, you know, you have to be in touch with who you are before you can even try to penetrate anybody else or try to even resonate with anybody else. You know, I tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, what can I do to get through this? What you need to do is own it and sit with it. Take a mirror and look at it. Ask yourself some simple questions. What have I done to contribute to this situation? Whatever situation, I'm not going to try to point fingers or call names. Because that was yesterday. I'm looking at tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are some of the techniques that you use and some of your thoughts on that?
Oh, goodness. I do a variety of different things, actually. Number one, my two biggest go-tos are I do deep breathing and I also dance. Those are the biggies for me because the breathing can actually help to bring me deeper. When we breathe more fully, we actually can connect to how we're feeling at a cellular level. And that breath work can actually help to bring up any emotions, any stuck energy that really needs to move. And so that's a big one for me. The other thing is doing conscious movement. Mm-hmm. And conscious movement is something that I like because it also helps to tap into that it helps to tap into whatever is there.
Right.
So I can tap in if I am moving, and it's not about moving. It's not about having any steps. It's really about just noticing how the body moves. Mm-hmm. And also incorporating that breath too. And what I find when I move is that if I'm in a state of joy, that joy is going to be amplified. And it's going to be a fantastic experience. I've also had times where I have been moving on the floor, and then all of a sudden I get stuck, or I have an emotion that's really hard.
Right.
Or I have an experience while I'm dancing that feels challenging for me. And I'm not above crying on the dance floor. You know, I allow Absolutely myself to not. Feel it. And then I allow myself to move and to move right through it.
Now, are you a trained dancer?
I've danced for a long time, but I've been dancing since I was four. And I've done ballet, I have done African dance, I have done NIA training, I'm certified in NIA. I've done belly dancing and tango, and right now I'm certified to be a soul motion leadership. I'm a soul motion leadership graduate, so I now teach conscious movement. It's the umbrella of conscious movement, and it's inspired by soul motion.
That's beautiful, because I'm a dancer too. I've done tap, I've done Afro-American, didn't really kind of dig the ballet so much, too formal for me. I like modern dance, so those are very, very important, and it is a way of expressing, releasing, and also exercising. So that's good. Sometimes I'll just go outside and turn on some music and just go absolutely nuts. That is my workout. You know, I be twerking, girl.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Love it. I'm not above dancing on the street corner. That's what
that's right. You know?
Yeah. If I've got my Walkman in, and last time I went for a walk, I was standing there and a great song came on. And then all of a sudden it was like, well,
I don't know if you've seen this video that's been going on for the Black Lives Matter movement. It used to be once upon a time that Black folks tap dance to entertain others, and now we are tapping out a message to resonate in people's mind. What events and experiences have led you up to what you're offering people?
Oh gosh, that's such a good question. There are so many different things. I think I've always been interested in understanding and knowing myself. And so everything that I have done up to this point has led me in the direction of knowing oneself. I've loved being out in nature. I've loved reading and all of those things. When I went to massage school, that really sent me on a trajectory of really connecting to self more deeply. And I took classes that led me, that felt like interests at the time. And then all of a sudden, I got divorced. And all of a sudden that caused me to actually have to look at the work that I was doing in a different way. I had to deepen it. I worked with a spiritual teacher to help me work through this. That's when I got my breath training certification. Mm-hmm. And that's also when I got my movement training certification as well.
Wow.
Because what I really felt that I needed to do was relearn the truth of who I was, because I felt that I just didn't know who I was anymore.
Well, you know, so many times we lose ourselves in others because we are highly dependent on their validation for who you are, for their support, for carrying you and carrying your load, and we forget who we are. And so me and Mr. Magnificent made that promise to ourselves that we were going to just leave a little bit extra for ourselves. We weren't going to give 100% to one another, because you never know what happens, you know? And so if you have that sense of self, you have something to work with. You don't have to start all over. At least you've got, you know, some level ground. You do some great work there in Denver, Colorado. Let me ask you, what is the climate there with this COVID-19 and social distancing and racial discord? What's it feel like there in Colorado?
You know, I feel very lucky to be here in Denver. I've had a lot of difficult conversations. Let's start with COVID. I do think that there are a lot of people who are observing the social distancing. There are a lot of people who are masking up and things like that. But you know, you do have some of the people who don't want to go there. But for the most part, people are very in support of what's happening. And of observing COVID and social distancing and things like that. With the racial climate, I think I can't speak for everybody in Denver, but what I am grateful to see is that there are some really great conversations that people are having. People are willing to have really frank discussions. And really honest discussions with friends, how have they come across me even like looking at myself and saying, well, you know, what things have I also contributed?
Absolutely.
To creating this dynamic.
Right.
Because it takes all of us.
It does. And it begins with ownership. I don't want anybody to give me anything. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I have a sense of worth. I want to feel like and know that I have a purpose, that I am a independent contributor to society, all of that. So you don't have to give me a handout, but right. Damn it, if I fall down, I want you to give me a hand up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, work with me. So you work with your clients on a very deep level. What are some of the things that you've incorporated that inspired this program outside of, you know, what you experienced in your personal consciously uncoupling? What else have you done?
Goodness. I'm not quite sure I'm understanding the question. Can you,
What other things have you incorporated in your training and your teaching with clients? Okay. To help them resonate and elevate to a level of awareness. Maybe that's
okay. Okay. When I work with clients, it's not just working hands-on. What I'm interested in is seeing what comes up for a client when I work with them. Because I do think that, you know, when I was in massage school, we had a saying that your issues are in your tissues. And so, isn't that funny?
It's true.
It really is. And so the thing that's important to me is, you know, it's not uncommon for a client to get emotional on my table. It's not uncommon for a client to get emotional while we're breathing. It's not uncommon for a client to get emotional while we're moving as well. And so what I try to do is bridge the gap and help people to see that there is a connection between what's going on in the body and what's going on in the mind and what's going on in the emotional arena, and what's also going on spiritually as well, because it's all connected. And when you can connect all of those, then you can really do some fantastic work. So if somebody is on my table and I'm working with them, and then all of a sudden I feel a hit, or all of a sudden they get emotional, we can have a conversation about what's going on with that so that they can move through it, so that they can have a physical release.
Well, that's one thing that I sure do miss. Okay, I miss my massage therapist. Girl, I was there. I don't care if I didn't get a mani or a pedi. I was there to release those energy blocks in my soul at one time, because I have very good hands as well. But at one time, I wanted to be a massage therapist. Mm. And it is, I don't know, you do resonate with people in a different way. Yeah. I don't know if I wanted to be that close, because there is a lot of exchange of energy. There's a lot of power there. There is a lot of emotion there. There's some moaning and groaning and farting. All of that is a part of the release. It's a part of the release, and it's important. It's a process. But there's also people that are very intimidated by touch because they have been sexually assaulted, or they don't feel comfortable, right, or they don't like being naked. Those type of things. When you get someone on your table that has that apprehension, how do you warm up to them? How do you get them comfortable?
Well, number one, we talk about it. because I think it's important for us to have that conversation and recognize that that's in the room. And definitely I have worked with a lot of women who have been assaulted. And I think that as I sit back, I think it's important to talk and to allow women to have that space to say, yes, this is what happened. And then also what I do when I'm working with clients as well is I also invite them to tell me what it is that they need from me and to let me know if there is something that I'm doing that crosses a boundary for them. I want to make sure that they recognize that they always are in the driver's seat and that when I'm working with them, we're a partnership. I'm not doing anything to them.
Right.
I am supporting them and I'm supporting their journey as opposed to me providing something for them.
Right, right. So you are actually the vehicle of exchange.
Absolutely. I'm just the conduit.
Right? Like, yes. You just got to keep it moving. You got to keep it moving. So when you work with groups, how does that pan out? What does that look like?
So when I work with groups, the situations in which I work most with groups are doing transformational breath and then also doing movement. And I also want to start working with groups, doing group discussions as well. But when I work with groups, especially doing the breath and movement, it's really beautiful because I love the energy that arises. And what I often do is give out a subject, or invitation for people to breathe with or to move with, and allow them to bring up or to allow them to experience whatever it is that they have available to experience, whatever is in each of their bodies and whatever's coming up for them. And then we have a conversation about what's come up after that.
I think anybody who wants to share. So powerful also with children, or young adults, because they're in their formative years. Mm-hmm. And this is the best time to teach them best practices, to get inside their little heads, to let them know it's okay to express themselves. And children love music and they love dance. Do you have children?
Oh my gosh, I don't. But I have nieces and we used to dance all the time. And the beauty of children is that they're so receptive. Yes. It doesn't take much. They're just like sponges. And so when you can start when you're young,
that is good.
It's just an amazing thing. It's an amazing foundation to start with children.
Do you do online Facebook Lives? I've seen some of them.
Yeah, I have done. Go ahead.
No, and I've seen some of the pictures that you have, and just your body positioning just drew me in.
Aww,
so I know that it's very powerful in your voice inflection, all of that. Connects with the energy that you produce.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about, some of the Facebook Lives that you do. What is the thought process behind that when you start to create that medium for your people?
Okay, so I didn't understand the first part of your question. Okay. Ask that again.
Come on, I'm gonna edit and do it again.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you cut out just a little bit when you said that, so.
I forgot what I asked you.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so when you create Facebook Lives and, performance pieces, mm-hmm. what do you think about? What is your thought process? Where do you go?
I go inward. Honestly, if there's anything that I share online or with other people, it's because it's coming from an internal place. And especially when I'm sharing like tips and tools that people can utilize, I'm sharing with you the things that work for me. in my own personal practice and everything. And so I think it's, you know, I really honestly think it's important to really keep that energy inward, because when I can be grounded, then, and be grounded in where I'm at, then that allows me more energy to share with other people.
Okay, you do a lot of inward work, but what are your outside influences? Is it diet? Is it exercise? Oh, okay. Is it good? Is it a good author? Is it a good book outside of music? But who pours into you? Who fills you up?
Oh gosh, you know, I love being out in nature. I love being out in nature because nature is just where I get my juice. I also have a wonderful tribe of women that I can lean on as well when I need to connect. I love to cook. So and for me it's important to eat well. And to eat foods that are right for my body as well. And also to make my life fun.
Right. You gotta have some fun, brains. Okay. You have to have some fun. Absolutely. This is the place.
Yeah.
So let me ask you just some random questions, cause I like to do that. I like to get in people's heads.
Oh, bring it.
If you had 3 wishes, what would they be?
3 wishes that I would have would be to travel. To meet people that I would always love to have conversations with. And also to live near water.
Near water. Mm-hmm. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
I'd be a lion.
Would you? Yeah. I'd be a party animal.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Yes. Or I'd be an elephant. I have a long
tail. Gosh.
I want to be big and strong and powerful, but yet gentle.
Yeah.
What is your favorite food?
Favorite food is honestly Spanish. Spanish and Mediterranean food. I love food that's really easy to make and colorful and has a lot of herbs and spices in it and everything. And so I think it's pretty. I like pretty food. So
and both of those cultures like to eat family style, where you have a big portion and everyone comes together to do that. So if you could have a conversation with a younger Natalie Gentry, what would you say to her?
Oh, what I would say to her is you're enough. You have always been enough. And to do you. Because I think that a lot of times we, you know, because of what we get fed through the media, we're always being told that we're not good enough or that we need to improve something and we need to change something. And what I am finding and what I have found, in my age is that there's really nothing wrong with any of us. Oh, God.
No, I had to cough.
Are you okay?
The water went down the wrong way. So we're going to just
go.
We'll edit that out. That's fine.
We can
edit all day long. Okay, so you would tell yourself that you are enough.
I would tell myself that I am enough and to just shine my light and to not worry about what anybody thinks, how anybody feels, and just do me and do the truth of who I am, go full bore.
When you meet our great God in the sky, what are you going to say to him? Or her?
I'll say, hey, how you doing?
Really? What's really going on up here?
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. Seriously. I've been wondering what's going on up here.
That is sweet. And you are wonderful and sweet too. And thank you so much for being a strong lion, for wanting to meet people, for wanting to travel, to go within, to dance, and to resonate, massage people. You are just a love. You are very authentic. And if no one's told you today, baby, you are enough, queen. Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Aww. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Natalie. They want to do some deep work. I'm sure that you've got a lot of offerings online. You got some programs and stuff going on. Please share with my brains.
The way you can get a hold of me is you can either go to my website, www.nataliegentry.com. Again, www.nataliegentry.com. Or if you would like, you can also email me too. My email address is natalie@nataliegentry.com as well.
Brains, take full on advantage of this. You know, this is relaxing. It's soothing. It's a way to calm your behind down because everybody has just been on a heightened sense of awareness. They are just overly sensitive. You know, you can go from a flicker to a flame, but movement and relaxation and the breath are all gifts. Take advantage of that and take advantage of other edgy conversations right here on The Edge Brains with April Mahoney. I need you to go in and subscribe to YouTube and follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram. But you got to be good people. You got to be nice, okay? You can have an opinion. We can agree to disagree. I love that. I love a spirited conversation, but you can't come with no crazy, okay? So thank you so much, Natalie, for coming with the good stuff. I love you, and be sure to come on back to visit me in San Diego. And, you know, maybe I can get to Colorado.
Oh, you are more than welcome. I'd love to see you in person.
I know. I'd love to dance with you because I can get out.
Oh, that would be fun. But bring it.
Talk to you soon. Peace and blessings, my sister.
Oh, you too.